A statue of Columbus in Peoria, another of Senator Stephen Douglas at the state capitol in Springfield, a Kickapoo Indian in McLean County that does not represent an accurate understanding of Native Americans. These join similar controversial monuments nationwide. There are Confederate generals galore people want to remove. Even President Teddy Roosevelt, or a statue of Abraham Lincoln in New York that has a kneeling black man in front of him looking upward. They all have something that looks to present-day eyes out of place or objectionable. Bloomington Normal human rights activist Kaya Jai says removing statues of Confederate generals who were traitors to the United States and racist supporters of slavery is an easy call. Other examples are more complex.
I struggle with it as well. It's a polarizing issue. It's where do we draw the line? I mean, Thomas Jefferson, do we venerate him for his prolific writing, or do we scandalize his name for the way he treated Sally Hemings?
Ajayi says more nuanced conversation about other statues needs to happen now and nationwide. He says if the teaching of history in schools were not so timid, it would be easier.
But we are so afraid of being honest about the genocide against the Native Americans. We barely touch on the Trail of Tears. We whitewash the Thanksgiving ceremony. We venerate Columbus. Now, these are the ways that you insidiously promote or at least fail to acknowledge some of the racist history that we have.
Others say statues are important. Guy Fraker is a Central Illinois attorney, author, and Abraham Lincoln scholar. He says such monuments are a dramatic and graphic way to honor those who are important in the history of the nation.
I don't like destroying anything that's part of history. I haven't really resolved what you should do with those.
Fraker says historical figures we now view as problematic deserve context, not destruction. The image of Senator Stephen Douglas at the state capitol, for instance.
Douglas, was he a good man? No. Was he a bad man? Yes. Was he a racist? Yes. But on the other hand, Douglas was responsible more than any single person for the construction of the railroads, which opened the West. So there was a good side to him, too. And he was the most influential man in our state and in probably in our nation for a long time.
Human rights activist Kaya Jai isn't buying it. Sure, a plaque or other accompanying exhibit to a statue can provide context, but there's often little real rethinking done by society.
When you have a member of a dominant culture who has committed atrocities or oppressed members of a minority culture, there's no movement to recognize the injustice because the injustice was perpetrated by that culture for the purpose of perpetuating that culture.
A prominent historian who's done work on the imagery and significance of monuments and memorials agrees in part. Yale historian Jay Winter says there's an opportunity cost to creating memorials in time and money that is specific.
Until the 1990s, the notion of commemoration had a, what I would say, a highly specific and relatively localized character. You know, they frequently were paid for through local funds, so they became the voice of commemoration of a particular group.
Winter says the internet changed everything. It not only allowed people in one place to see a problematic statue in another, it connected like-minded protesters.
Groups of people in South Africa who got rid of the Cecil Rhodes statue communicate directly with people who don't like a statue of Theodore Roosevelt in New York or of Winston Churchill in London. There's a speed of exchange that has a shared and, in some sense, outraged response.
Winter says regardless of racist, colonialist, genocidal, or some other atrocious aspect of statues involving reconsidered historical figures, there is a commonality, war, an unfailingly masculine celebration of martial tradition.
As long as that is a dominant domain of public remembrance, then I think this problem is going to exist, because over time, various wars will look worse than other ones.
All the people consulted for this story say it's hard to tell when a dominant culture will move enough for a Stephen Douglas, a Christopher Columbus, or a Woodrow Wilson to be thrown down. One Peoria artist, though, says it is the job of present-day artists to offer replacements once that moment does arrive.
I don't have the luxury to do anything else.
African-American and sculptor Preston Jackson says his youthful experience in the South informs his body of work.
Right now, as we speak, I'm building these large pieces of bronzes. You know, I chose bronze for the reason, you know, as a weapon against the fact that there were bronze statues that spoke against, you know.
Jackson says he's now doing a large monument to slaves crossing from Missouri to Illinois as they were pursued in their flight to freedom. Historian Jay Winter says there's no sign the pace of statue protests worldwide will slow down anytime soon. I'm Charlie Schlenker.